Yes, correct. Right. So the architecture committee is trying to draft, basically, as I kind of understand it, an actual architecture for ONAP. And a lot of work is already done all over the place, but they're basically trying to sort of start again and get I guess and document all of these flows starting from scratch, I guess, for all sorts of things in ONAP. And this happened, they first started talking about this in the Paris DDF that we had. And so I had volunteered to do the first one because I was doing a lot of stuff in SEC, and then Chakra and I were doing this one, and so now they're onto the onboarding, pre-onboarding, which of course the three of us have worked on a lot. So I sent you an email with the link so you can take a look at it, and we'll go over some of this today as well, just so
Sure.
people are aware of it, and hopefully maybe Michaela can join as well. Otherwise, we can, I'm happy to meet with you guys separately too if you want.
Sure.
Or maybe we can, we can also talk about it at the we can also talk about it at our sync up meeting call as well. It's not a high priority super rush thing. It's a low priority thing. So, we have some weeks to work on it, and then on top of that, we'll present it at the architecture subcommittee, and then we'll have even more time to review comments back from that. Okay.
Okay.
So, all right. We'll, I guess, give it a minute or two for people to join here. So one of the big things happening still is this cadence release proposal, which will of course affect the content in R5 in El Alto, whether El Alto has any features or not. Moving from this 27 and a half week water flow development cycle where you define features, develop, and move to integration towards more of a agile sort of sprint type flow where you have three releases, three sub releases, and then that will fold into it looks like a more traditional waterfall development flow in Frankfurt. And El Alto, I think, is aimed at being a technical debt release, refactoring software, Jira backlog reduction, vulnerability issues, test coverage, test automation, deployment precision, documentation, which basically for the use cases means that we'll be planning and working the use cases to M0 and M1. We'll have a longer time and hopefully more thoughtful, more well worked out time to work out the use cases. So this was presented again, or discussed. I attended the TSC last Thursday. This was discussed on the TSC vote at the near the end of the call. A vote. They discussed it and they asked for a vote. And I think that's happening this week, I believe. So, okay. And I'm not sure what's going to happen in release G. Okay, but this will obviously affect what we do in R5. I've already taken some plans already in some of the use cases that I'm involved with to do either way, that we might do something in Alto or something in Frankfurt. Okay. So hopefully this isn't a surprise to anybody now. It's been talked about for a couple of weeks. It was presented April 1st. So it's been some number of weeks in decision Okay. So in tomorrow, Friday, is the RC0 gate for Dublin. So that means the end-to-end, focusing on end-to-end testing, the testing and integration testing, and complete health check and pairwise testing is done. Defects and closing high priority defects is a focus in R2 and supporting documentation. So from the use case perspective, I think we've a lot of support role right now to help out integration and I've been helping and discussing on defect stuff and supporting the documentation stuff. Okay. The platform topics will wait for, I don't see Shaq or Oscar on the call, but I did find a link to the presentation that I talked about, the controller to NF association. So there's slides there for that. And that is not going to be something in R4. So I have it here because it's, you know, a platform thing we need to keep track of. And basically, it's the solution to try to solve a problem where the controllers are aware of what kind of NF it needs to support for a particular interaction, first uncovered in the plug-and-play use case. Okay, so let's see. So I'm going to skip some of these as people join here. And jump down to, okay, so I had a discussion yesterday with Tracy Van Brackel and a bunch of other people, actually, who are working standards. And there's a whole bunch of standards that are trying to define models for 5G RAN products and PNFs. So there's the ETSI standard, which many people are aware of, and it's talked about on the modeling calls and the subcommittee modeling subcommittee calls on Mondays and Tuesdays. There's of course the SL001, which defines the PNFD model, which has also been talked about in the modeling subcommittee. 3GPP is also defines and talks about models. ORAN, the various ORAN working groups define OEM and the RIC and other components of ORAN, and they also are trying to work towards a model to work with. Open ROADM, ONF, ISOMI, and OTCC, the reconfigure optical add drop multiplexer, optical transport config control, all these are transport optical domain standards, also working also to develop models and transport models. So the discussion was how do we find some common ground, and are there ideas and teams that that can leverage knowledge from each other and maybe achieve some kind of harmonization. So ONAP isn't a standards body per se, right? But of course it needs, and it will have some kind of internal what they call a platform information and platform data model. And in many cases, it's drawing ideas from right now ETSI, just because the ETSI representatives are quite active directly in the modeling subcommittee. I told them that ROADM and ONF and ISOMI and OTC, these aren't very active, and even ORAN, sometimes we have people from ORAN on various calls that I see, but they're not very active in modeling. So I showed them the 5G use case page in Frankfurt that's currently being discussed. So I started this page discussing one thing that we need is to develop a 5G service. I drew a diagram about what 5G is. And then I showed them for a 5G RAN network, what the basic components are, that you have a 5G CU and a DU with associated RUs, and that forms the RAN network connected to a core network. And then resources that are associated with that, you know, ANFs and PNFs and VNFs, policies, templates, blueprints, and other artifacts that can be associated with a service definition. And this is the sort of Etsy view that ONAP is currently using in the platform information model and data model to represent this linkage association between a CU and DU in end of one cardinality. And you'll see that, you know, there's PNFs and VNFs and how they're connected via these virtual links and connection points. So I took some notes while we were talking, and just as people were talking from various standards bodies, we had people from Etsy and ORAN and, you know, various companies, Orange and Ericsson and Nokia and so forth. Many people were on the call. This was just an opening call. We're going to have another follow-on one next Tuesday. So again, so it's important, especially for the modeling subcommittee, for ANEI, for various use cases, anything that's going to be using or trying to model and represent things that we have to work with in ONAP. The hope is to try to harmonize some of these views from all these different standards bodies, all doing kind of their own thing, but yet all somewhat related, and ONAP needs to pay attention to these, because of course it itself also needs to represent a model of PNFs and VNFs that it has to work with. So it's a really thorny problem as I came to listen to everybody's viewpoints. You know, we see lots of different people in standards developing big documents talking about packages and descriptors and models, and the fear is, of course, that everything kind of defines their own thing, but yet ONAP has to try to sort of pull all this together, which is going to be very difficult, right? So the sooner that we can get some alignment and pull and identify those ideas that we need to pay attention to and try to incorporate them into the ONAP models, I think the better it will be. I told them, and there were people in optical there, but I told them, you know, we don't have much, and you can see we didn't get to the optical standards, but in Open ROADM and ONF and ISOMI and OTCC, there are some people in AT&T, for example, Tracy Van Breckel, who attended the call, was aware of a lot of these. And what she's trying to do, actually, is they are trying to get a demonstrator of something using a model that they can say, you know, here's a case where, you know, we're going to use a RAN model. Here's an early view of what a RAN model might look like and some actual parameters that are being used. So I think they're going to try to use the OFPCI use case for that demonstrator. Okay. So I uploaded the recording for that discussion yesterday. So if you're interested, it's about an hour long recording. You can listen to it. And you'll see what it is. Sorry, there's some hallway noise. Hold on one sec. Okay. So you can listen to to that discussion. I kind of summarized it in words just now, and there will be a follow-up call next Tuesday on the 30th. Okay. Any questions on that? So it will be the thing, you know, what makes it tough is it involves the use case team, involves ANEI, involves the modeling subcommittee, involves a whole bunch of, you know, people working standards that are in that attend the ONAP calls and so forth. So it's really a tall order to try to pull everything together, I think. But and you see, we've tried to. I'm not sure which Vishnu is on the call. I'm just right, Vishnu. there's been already a lot of discussion trying to pull all this together. So, hi, Chakra. Thanks for joining. So far I've talked about the R5 El Alto cadence release. I'll just summarize in a couple of sentences what we talked about so far. We talked about the cadence release, at the end of the TSC call, the vote was called, and hopefully that'll happen soon. And a lot of things are waiting on what's actually going to happen. Use cases, of course, defining what we're going to do in use cases will vary dramatically depending on what we do in R5, right? Tomorrow is the RC0 deadline for the Dublin release, and you see here that it's focused on integration, closing high priority defects, and supporting the documentation team. So that's happening tomorrow. And then I sort of jumped ahead and we're starting to talk about these modeling work I'm trying to harmonize the models, and it looks like we might be starting sort of standing meetings to discuss that. And I'll Tracy wanted to kind of start it with a core group of people, and I think she's open to having it inviting more people. So when I create that next meeting, I'll invite more people. People who I think might be interested. Okay. I see David also joined. Thanks for joining. All right. If you're interested, you can listen to the recording that we had of yesterday's call. Okay, so I want to spend a little bit of time today talking about the onboarding resources onto SDC Flow. So I've been working with a number of different people in the architecture subcommittee. Let me see. To try to help define flows in architecture. So I did the SDC service distribution with input from people. Chakra and I and others worked on this so service instantiation flow. That's basically completed. So you can look at these flows. I put links to them. If you have any comments, just let me know. So at the last two architecture meetings ago, they were said, well, what's next? So Vimal suggested let's do things related to the package and the onboarding. And I mentioned that in R4, that myself, Michaela, Bekala, and Zhu Xiang from Ericsson have been working on the onboarding and pre-onboarding use case. So I said, well, that looks a lot like what you're trying to do here, so we can work on that. So I'm just going to open this up now and kind of read through a little bit of what's there, and you can talk about it and provide input. And as we're developing this, I think it'll be useful for people who aren't intimately familiar to see. and of course, if you have comments, we can edit stuff on the fly. So this architecture information flow is about onboarding resources into SDC, and I see also that there's new and upgraded resources. Oh, I also see Marge join. Okay. So actually, I should mention there's new and upgraded resources. can be boarded or updated. Okay. So this is generally least for new resources. Even upgrading resources, generally going to do in design time. When SCC imports a resource in the SCC catalog, and the purpose is to bring in an XNF resource into SCC, and we're basically the information passed is the PNF onboarding package. So this flow describes the onboarding resources and apply to newer. Oh, I already said that. Okay. A resource can be a XNF. Resources are onboarded in the SCC catalog during design time. The flow describes what happens when a resource is brought into SCC. Any comments on that? Okay. So many of you, hopefully many of you have seen this picture already. So we developed a picture describing the sort of stages of onboarding, where you bring on board a package. There's a, let me see if I can shrink this maybe a little, how is it? Okay. But so you bring on board a package during the delivery, and there's an actual package that's brought on board. A descriptor is loaded, which describes your PNF or XNF. it's validated through VNF SDK, and information and platform information data model is used, and a service is defined during design time in SDC using the artifacts with the service designer.
Benjamin, I have a general comment on this page.
Yeah.
The title you have is Onboarding Resource into SDC Flow. But yeah, in the picture, you also show pre-onboarding, which is not in the scope of SDC.
Yeah, okay. So you're saying we should take out all the pre-onboarding information? Is that what you're...
You should have it separate. It's better to have a separate page talking about pre-onboarding or a separate section in the same page, and that's also fine, but it's better to separate it.
Sure, okay. Sure, we could do that.
That's my first comment. I have second comment is that you're only talking about the task onboarding. Mm-hmm. But today, SDC support different onboarding methods. Task onboarding is only one of it. There's also heat template onboarding. Mm-hmm. And there's also manual onboarding. So I don't know if you want to just to document what is the task onboarding procedure, or you want to document how SDC works.
So we should probably mention all three of those. So I think that's good. Let's it's a good comment. So I'll work those in. Okay. So I guess the pre-onboarding piece, maybe I can I'll delineate what's more the pre-onboarding stuff versus the onboarding phases. I mean, I see there's a package, pre-onboarding stuff happens, and onboarding, right? Mm-hmm. Does that seem reasonable to you? So I think I have that here as well. so what happens is that there's an actual package is delivered. Onboarding happens, and I have I put in a graphic for that, and then actual onboarding activities happen, right? So, you know what? I should probably that's
hey,
a good comment.
Hey Ben. Yeah. Sorry, this is Shaka. Yeah, I didn't understand the. The comment that was the previous comment that was made about the manual onboarding, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's such a thing as manual onboarding.
What do you mean? There's no manual onboarding?
No. What do you mean by manual onboarding?
SDC allow you to manually create a resource as a VNF or PNF. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, but I think we're using the onboarding terminology in a different way. The onboarding process is once you finish creating the service using SDC, whether you load the artifacts manually or otherwise, but the onboarding process from SDC is not manual. When the AI D, which is the Tasca template that gets created, the service template that gets created. It gets created. It's not created manually.
No, I'm referring to the resource, which is a VF or PF that SDC allow you to create a PF resource or a VF resource without an onboarding package. That's the procedure I'm referring to.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means, right? I mean, so you have to start with the VNF SDK, if that's what you're talking about. You know, you take VNF.
No. Okay. VNF SDK is optional procedure for pre-onboarding. It's optional. You can skip that if you want. You can have your onboarding package received from a vendor and onboarded using SDC GUI. That's one way to do it. The second way to do it is you can manually create it without any onboarding package.
Well, that's a part of the service creation, right?
No, it's not. So, no. Service creation is second phase. Phase one is create resources.
No, I understand. I understand that. It's a semantics, right? I just want to make sure that when you onboard a service, I think I'm thinking about the way the service, the AID template gets created by SDC and it gets deployed into all of the ONAP components.
I think we're mixing a few things. In SDC, there's an onboarding procedure, which is create a resource. Mm-hmm. It's not a service yet. After you create a resource, you can create a service template. And when you create a service template, you can do the distribution. That's a step three. So I'm talking about step one, which is onboarding.
Okay.
Before you create any services. So the step one is create resources. This is the terminology using SDC. And to create a resource, you can use a Heap template, or you can use a Tosca template, or you can manually create it using the GUI. This is the way how it works in SDC today.
No, I understand that, right? I understand that I think we need to make sure that everybody understand what is meant by onboarding. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah. Sure, that's a good point. So maybe here in the basic description of what onboarding is, we should be clear. What exactly do we mean by onboarding? So let's start with that. Does somebody want to take a stab at a clear definition of what onboarding is? So in my mind, I think of onboarding as a design time activity which can bring on board a resource. Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah, that's also my understanding. But in your slide, you also have service template. So you want to also talk about service creation, right?
So the page is focused. I mean, I do mention service and stuff, but that's the sort of the broader context, right? So I don't really, these other things, I think I have a diagram for that later, but I'm really focused on these first three boxes, right? So I talk more about the package, more about the validation. I talk more about the internal package. So you see, this is the actual package. I have the little flow here, happens in validation, and then the internal package. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, for the first slide, I think there's something also mixed there. If you look at the first box, it's onboarding package. Mm-hmm. And if you look down, you have 001. It's not right. It should be 004.
Yeah, you're right. Good call.
Yeah. And then your second box is onboarding descriptor, which should be mapped to 001.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a good call.
And then if you look at the SDC Caesar artifacts, somehow you have this 007 mapped down. Well, I don't think that's right. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I was typing. Say again.
If you look at the second one from the right, STC Caesar artifacts, and you have SO007.
STC Caesar. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. SO007. I don't think we have any SO007 right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And actually, this doesn't necessarily do with the package either. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I should update that here too. Okay, thanks.
And the internal package.
Mm-hmm. Oops.
It's a different one, right? If you go back to the previous one, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I should probably take out the little Dublin flags on these two.
Okay. Okay. You can leave it. Okay.
Take these out. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I think for the internal package, you have to refer to the AID model.
The internal package, okay.
Yeah, there's SDC onboarding in the middle.
Yeah.
But you have SDC internal package. This is the AID model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you look at the inside the box, you also have a Tosca descriptor, Tosca metadata. I would assume you are referring to the internal AID model, right?
Oh, that's weird. What's going on with this here? Oh, I see. There's a different box there.
Yes.
So that's the, I guess that should be the internal AID model. So basically, the way I see it is, and I had in a discussion I had with the SDC team with Ophir, I had it in person actually with Ophir. Let me see if I can find the slide here. I was trying to understand and talked with Ophir about, you know, this whole concept of this internal package. Mm-hmm. So we bring on board, which Anna and you, I think you were at the meeting too, or I'm sure you're familiar with this. So anyway, there's a package that a person brings in, and then SDC does stuff with that package, and that's what they're calling this SDC internal Caesar package. I told Ophir, you need to come with some kind of term for this, so that people have a mental hook to latch onto, and then because Caesar is like a zip file, it's a format, so. When people say Caesar package, it's used in a lot of places, right? So we need to have enough adjectives in front of the word Caesar package so people can differentiate between these three phases. And the output of SDC is a SDC service Caesar package.
Right.
There's an internal service Caesar package and then onboarded also in a Caesar format package. So I think what I was trying to do or was trying to show is that you have stuff that you onboard, and then SDC basically it preserves that stuff in this one directory, but then it adds other stuff too. And so what I was trying to show there was the stuff that gets added.
Yeah, but I understand it, but it's really hard to just show it in one slide. If you go back to the one you just showed, the 15, I think page 15 or. Yeah, this one.
Yeah.
If you look at SDC service Caesar, it is basically an internal AID model because today the service Caesar is an AID model. But the internal Caesar is more referred to as a resource Caesar. And the resource Caesar today, there's a two different models. There's a Tosca model, there is an AID model.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know if you try to highlight it there.
The AID model is the internal ONAP model, right? And the Tosca model is the Tosca definition that's used in the package.
We onboard. Well, for PNF, we did the manually transform into an AID model. Mm-hmm. But if you onboard a VNF package, they have two ways to do it: either translate it into an internal AID model, internal AID model. Or translating to internal Tosca model.
Mm-hmm.
There's a two option there.
Okay. So maybe you're saying we should try to represent that.
No, because no. For this slide, I think it's okay because you have the PNF package as a.
Yeah.
So it's for PNF, it is AID model for sure because we only did that. But for VNF, you have two options.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What you're describing for VNF is the procedure that you take your heat as one option, and that is translated into an internal model?
Yeah, when you onboard a heat template, it will translate into AID model.
Okay. And what you're describing is just the resource creation itself, right?
Correct.
Okay, so let me see.
So my question is, for your wiki page, are you trying to show PNF onboarding or are you trying to show also VNF onboarding? Well, that's going to be a different scope.
So I think Stephen wanted both. Let me look. Yeah, I think he wanted both. So maybe I have two slides, one for PNF stuff and one for VNF stuff. So let's just look at the VNF right now, and I'll make another one for VNFs. So for PNFs, we don't use, this is correct, right? You think this should be accurate?
Yeah, for PNF, it is okay.
So for VNFs, I can draw a different thing for VNF here, VNF. So VNFD. And a VNF also has a VSP. Should I show that?
If you use this slide, this is an onboarding package. It's a task format. So when you onboard, it will create an internal task model.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're saying that I can also have a VNF one with an AID format?
If you onboard a VNF using a heat template, mm-hmm. it's going to create an AID model, internal mm-hmm. AID model.
Okay. So this should be an AID model.
Hey, Ben.
Yes.
I think we need Ophir in the SDC team.
So I'm going to bring this to the SDC team.
Exactly.
I'm definitely going to bring this to the SDC team. I just wanted to show you guys a start of what we're doing. And since I hadn't had a chance to meet with Sue and his name was by this, I wanted to at least run it by him. Okay. Does this look okay, Sue, to you?
Maybe for this meeting, we focus on the PF.
Yes.
Package first, because that's the one we implement in Dublin.
Yes, right. Okay, so...
Hey, Ben, just one quick question.
Sure.
Can we also capture in here the controller blueprint archive packages?
So the controller blueprint archive packages are added... let me see, so I have...
The controller blueprint is not part of onboarding, is it?
It is once you create your resource, right? Then you can attach different artifacts to your resource?
Yeah, that's a second step. When you try to create the services, you can add, attach, workflow, blueprint, and something more, right?
Yeah, policy.
That's more like a second step.
Right.
Yeah, here. Yeah, this one.
So what I see is basically once you've onboarded stuff, you go to a policy designer, you can add policies to your service, workflows to your service, control loops to your service, blueprints to your service. I don't think that's, unless there's a gap in my knowledge, I don't think that's added in the actual package itself.
No, at least not today.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of, yeah. Or maybe Yuri, did you mean something else, or?
No, I think what we're describing is if it's after the fact, I think that's fine. I think it's the second step.
Okay.
Yeah. But even in your second step, I did not see something that talks about controller blueprint archive files. So if we can add that, that would for both VNFs and PNFs, that would then cover that scope as well.
Let me just write that controller.
No,
well, it's not here. It was not here. It would be, yeah. Hold on one sec. So I think it would probably go more. It's easier to find stuff this way, I think. Here, right? So here is where I think this controller blueprint archive is added during the time you're defining a service, right?
Yeah. That's a question. The blueprint, who is going to create it? It's operator, right?
The blueprint can be created by the operator, yes.
But do you need any input information from the vendor?
It's yes, because in the blueprint you can have various aspects like the templates that are being used to be generated. So it could be a Jinja template or a Velocity template. So we can get that feedback from the vendor. So it's more of a service providers and vendor kind of created package.
What did you say? Something Velocity. I missed the first word.
Jinja templates.
Oh, what is that? I'm not familiar.
Those are Python-based templates. It's a Python-based engine for generating dynamic content.
Okay. Well, I just didn't understand. What, Jinja?
Jinja. Jinja. Let me post that. One second.
Okay.
J-I-N-J-A.
J-I-N-J-A. Okay. All right. Thanks. So are those actually... Is there an artifact that's provided by a vendor then for those that you would need to bring on board that a service provider uses for their... For their PNF?
It could be something the vendor can provide, or it could be something that service provider can do. So it's based on whatever your vendor, because your vendor can have a schema that is, let's say, very vendor specific or vendor agnostic, mm-hmm. right? So your Jinja template is going to conform to that schema. To generate some dynamic content for your use cases.
So this Jinja template is more like a per PNF type based, is it?
Well, it depends, right? Because if the vendors, let's say if all vendors adhere to an agnostic schema, an agnostic, then you can have a Jinja template in the service that's very agnostic, right? Meaning everybody has a single way for creating interfacing, adding BGP, adding costs.
Okay.
So and then you can have agnostic templates. But if you have some specialty or customization, then you can create something that's very customized for you.
Okay. So it can be generated or it also can be per PNF type, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And same things applies for VNF. So it's, you know.
Just a question for this template that you have, I think today in Dublin, it's only implemented to support PNF configurations. So.
No, it supports PNFs, VNFs. It can support also from a post-instantiation perspective, like base config, application config, incremental configuration. And it also supports a way to generate and resolve cloud resources for OpenStack or for any other cloud provider. It's platform agnostic.
So can you tell me, Yuri, what kind of category does that fit under? Is it something that is it?
It should be. I think we need to create. Is it configured? We created it. We have like a category of controller blueprint archive in the SDC itself.
Okay. So, but how is it used? Is it?
Benjamin, I think what I understand is that today it's manually uploaded. It's not picking anything from the onboarding package.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something we are going to discuss in the SDC meeting next week, how to evolve it in the next releases.
Okay. So maybe I'll leave it off for now because Stephen wanted this to be just what's done now and we can add stuff later.
What I'm describing is what's done in Dublin release, not in El Alto.
Oh, okay. And so this can be manually loaded, but it could also be incorporated into a package. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I think right now we only support it as a manual loaded through SDC. So once a resource is created, then you have a way to onboard this specific artifact.
I see. Okay. So in the future, you might be able to incorporate it into a package.
Yes, I think in the future that's something that we can work towards.
Okay. Great. So I'll update the picture when that becomes available. Okay, so let's go back to here. So Zhu, does this look okay then? I need to, this is for a PNF, and I should mention we'll draw another one for PNFs, and then I'll do another one for VNFs.
For PNF, I think it's okay.
Okay. All right, any other comments on the, again, we're basically focused on these first three stages where there's a package, it gets validated, and then SDC basically takes that and has what they call an internal package. So the preconditions for this flow are that the SDC contains, vendors are preparing an onboarding package. And so basically preconditions are that there's some package that a vendor has if you're not manually onboarding. Okay, so there's models in SDC, Certification Studio is available, and of course, there's an ONAP instance.
And then, what do you mean by models in SDC?
So I think there will be a platform. This is the platform information and data model. that exists, I think, independent of the models that get loaded on, right?
but this bullet, is that the requirement on the vendors?
No. These are preconditions for things that we expect to be there before you onboard stuff. So of course there's an ONAP installation. And with that installation, of course, there's a Certification Studio, which is used by VNF SDK. And then basically SDC is ready to, what I mean by this bullet is SDC is ready to, maybe I should just say that. SDC is basically there, installed, and ready to onboard the package. Yeah. Right.
And also you have the three bullets under the first statement. So it's, when I read it, it sounds like it is a requirement for the vendors.
Oh, yes, you're right. Thank you. Yes, that was, it should be more here. So I meant to say, kind of in this, there's two parts, right? This ONAP is ready. Part and then there's a package part. And let me add that as a thank you. So this is kind of a heading two. This is a heading two. And the package can be provided by a vendor. Of course, it's optional. and SDC is ready to ingest. Okay. Thanks. Good catch. Okay. And then the things we just described, I wrote some words about what each of these boxes are. And to Yuri's point, maybe I should add something about the
I have two comments on this one.
Sure.
Maybe you want to highlight this as just a SOZER's or four-based Tosca package.
Okay.
And the artifact, maybe you should indicate that it is optional.
So which artifact?
In your slide, you have a box about the PNF package artifacts. Yes, I think that's optional. Right? There's only the VAS event is mandatory. The rest is optional.
Sure. Okay. Let me see. Okay.
And the testing file, I think we take it out because that's if you follow the latest SOZER 4, it indicates that the testing file is not applicable for PNF. So that one is out. And the license agreement is something that we postponed for discussion in our auto.
So hold on. So all of these other things are optional, right? So
yeah, those are optional.
Let me see here. What is going on with this bullet? Okay. Cut and paste this. It included new carriage or turn lines, which is annoying. Let me see if I can get rid of that. Okay. That didn't help. Okay. Right.
Testing file is not included.
Ah, okay.
And license agreement is also postponed for the discussion in next releases.
George is saying that controller blueprint artifact is in a future release because it's not part of the package now. It has to be manually put in, right?
Ben? Correct. Yeah.
Okay. You know,
okay. Dublin. The app user would manually upload the controller. Let me see. So Yuri, can you say some words about what this thing actually is, what it does, what it's about, maybe a description of what this is? Yuri, are you there? No, he's there. Yuri, are you there?
Yes. What was the question?
So can you say some words about what this controller blueprint artifact is again? Just like what it's for, what it does?
It basically, from a controller perspective, we have a Tosca-based implementation for executing a template for configuration and doing like provision activities. I can provide like a description for what we have put in the architecture write-up of what's, you know, controller blueprint archive has.
Yeah, that'd be excellent. Okay.
But this is also optional, right?
It is optional, yes.
Yes, it's optional.
Okay, thanks. This is optional. Okay, great. And then there's the information flow. I can just show that to you. Doesn't the UML thing doesn't? Okay, so basically, I have a user, VNFS SDK, and SDC as the actors. We deliver the package. There's some kind of thing that lets you deliver that package, and it's brought into SDC. The package is validated through an VNFS SDK, performing a license file check, a certificate file check, a manifest file and destination cross-check pathways, manifest file tag validation, Tosca meta file validation, and then SDC adds the stuff that I showed in the picture above. So UID metadata, Tosca metadata, Tosca descriptor, and license model files, and then additional artifacts could be added manually.
Just a comment on this one.
Yeah.
I would prefer you separate the pre-onboarding and onboarding into
okay.
two different pictures because this is
okay.
a little bit misleading.
Okay, sure. I can do that.
And yeah, okay. You have a user there. Is that referring to the operator?
The ONAP user, yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's better to make it clear. This is ONAP user.
Okay. Okay, I could do that. All right. Okay, then we come to the actual package. After the package delivery, we have validation. These are actually kind of the steps in the flow. So it's talking about what we do for validation. There's a license file check, a certificate file check, VNF checks files and directory locations defined in the manifest file that are actually there. It does these tag checks for the PNF product name and so forth. And it does this Tosca meta metadata file checks for entry definition and so forth. And then the internal package we talked about, the things that SDC adds. And then the post condition I said are that the, I guess I should say VNF or XNF, the PNFs or VNFs are onboarded. and the PNF descriptor models are loaded. There's an internal model. An internal package, sorry. Package exists. And then the package has been validated by VNFS SDK. Oops, it's a cut and paste error. I think actually I haven't put descriptions in these properly yet, so okay. Yeah, I need to update the descriptions here, so okay. All right. Okay, I'll clean up some of this stuff. Thanks for all the comments from people. So we only have, we're at the end of the meeting, actually. Okay, so we covered a lot of topics. And again, probably one of the big things right now is we're waiting for this decision from the TSC of what's actually going to be in Palo Alto. Any last comments or thoughts before we close? Okay, if not, thank you everybody for attending. You can read through the notes again. There was the recording for the model harmonization discussion we had yesterday with Tracy Van Breckel and others. If you're interested, you can listen to that. Okay, thank you everybody and have a good day. Thanks.
Bye.